Archdiocese of New Zealand
of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Patitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis, of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church located in lovely Western Springs. It's our joy to be with you again today, this Friday, and to prepare ourselves for the coming Sunday. In our Orthodox tradition, it is the third Sunday of Lent, and it is the Sunday of Stavro Proskynisios, the day in which we venerate the precious cross of Christ.
Χάριν του νεθελήσας ο θυμάτων αρχαίων, ο πάντων χρεολίτης ανθρώπων, επεδίμησε δι' αυτού προς τους αποδήμους της αυτού χάριτος και σχίσας το χειρόγραφον, ακούει παραπάντων ούτως, αλληλούια.
Welcome to our radio program in the Narthex with Father Paul. I'm Father Paul. And also with me at the red microphone is Presbytera Katarina.
Hello, Father Paul.
Glad to have you back.
Thank you. It looks like I've been gone for 2 weeks and I thought I was only gone for one.
Well, you make a big impact on the program, so we miss you when you're not there. But anyway, we're talking now about the third Sunday of Great Lent, which is called Stavro Proskynisios, or the Sunday of the Veneration of the Cross. And someone might say, what in the world is the veneration of the cross doing in the middle of Lent? After all, we're heading toward the crucifixion of Christ. Isn't that the object of our Lent, to bring us to the feast of the Holy Week? Yes, it is. But the Church looks at the human being and says, look, you need a break from this heavy Lent. And we know of no other way to give you a break than to cover you in the shade of a very beautiful tree with very large leaves. And that tree is the tree of the cross. So the cross is there to give us consolation, strength, courage, patience, endurance, hope, to cure our faint-heartedness, cure our depression, cure our anger, cure our hatred, cure our malice, cure our grudge holding, and set us free so that we can endure and embrace the rest of Holy Lent. So we'll be talking about that a little bit today, different aspects of the meaning of the cross, and hopefully you can join us for this little journey today.
Sometimes
Presidenta, we have a new singer on our radio program today. Who is that?
Oh, no, that's not a new singer, but it's a song that we haven't tried before, and it seems like it was really good for the theme today.
Who is that singing?
It's Audrey Assad. We've had her play a few times. This song, Lament, we have never played.
Oh,
even once.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she has a... It seemed like it's appropriate for that.
Yes, yes. Well, if we're going to talk about the cross, believe it or not, we have to go back to the beginning. You might say, what beginning? The book of beginnings. The book of Genesis. Genesis is the book of the birth of the earth, the world, the creation. Genesis in Greek just means birth or nativity. So Genesis, even in English, I think Genesis means birth. So here we are. If we're going to go and understand the cross, we need to go back to the beginning. And what are we going to find there in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis? Right after God creates man and woman, well, actually just man at this point, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, in the midst of the garden is the tree of life. The church sees the cross as the tree of life. The tree that was in the garden, I don't know what it looked like, but somehow it's connected and rooted in the tree of the cross. There's something analogous, there's something spiritually connected between the one and the other. Then there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and everybody thinks, why would God put a tree that could be a temptation to man? But if you recall, until that point there is no evil. That is to say, for man is living in an innocent state. He hasn't been tempted to do anything evil. There might be evil outside in the heavenly realms, but not in the paradise. But the tree is there, and God tells Adam, don't eat that tree. Don't eat that tree. And then, of course, a little farther in the story, he creates woman from the rib of Adam. And then he tells, of course, Adam that if he eats of that tree, he's going to die. And when he sees his wife, he's so happy. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. And he can't think of a better day in his life than when he meets his wife. And then, as they're in that state, the devil comes to say, what about the tree of good and evil? Now, when we eat of the tree of good and evil, of course, we are eating of the tree of disobedience. It doesn't have to be that there's anything wrong with the tree or anything magical about its fruit. It was just told, don't eat it, because if you eat it, you're going to die. Now, Adam and Eve didn't die immediately, did they? They lived hundreds of years after that. But they died spiritually. There was a separation between them and God. And they ate that fruit, and the fruit became the fruit of disobedience. They couldn't control their urge to eat it, even they were told not to eat it. And what was the reason for that urge? Who knows? Is it the devil's prompting? Was it a tasty fruit? Who knows? But also, there's something that the church understands about it, and that is that human beings need to learn how to fast. So there's a connection again to our time and to the fast of the Lenten period. There's a tree in our life. Maybe it's a weed, and it doesn't need to be fed all the time. We don't need to feed it. We don't need to water it. We need to fast it, and we do that by fasting ourselves and not giving ourselves every single thing we want, but saying no to our passions, saying no to the things that dictate our lives easily, and just trying to listen to the soul in the human person. So this tree of life is the tree of the cross. And the tree of disobedience is the tree of death, of course, so it symbolizes all the other things that in this world bring death. That's a good place to segue now. Do we have another song? Because I want to take you now to some hymns of the church after this next musical interlude.
Is the guardian of the whole earth. The cross is the beauty of the church. The cross is the strength of kings. The cross is the support of the faith. Is the glory of angels and the wonder of demons. Today the cross is exalted and the world is sanctified, for thou who art enthroned with the Father and the Holy Spirit has spread thine art upon it and drawn the
Father Apostolos Hill, a tremendous chanter and priest who has put that beautiful CD together, and we thank him for that. We are now in the middle point of Lent, and the Church is asking us to think about the cross. And I have to say, most people who are not raised in the Orthodox Church think of the cross of Christ, and they have one word that comes to their mind, atonement. And the dialogue that goes on in their head goes something like this. Man sinned. Man needed to be made right with God. Man could not stop sinning. So God became man to take the place of man and be a perfect sacrifice. And then to die to appease the anger of God. Now, we are in agreement with almost all of that until we get to the point of the anger. We don't agree with that. We don't understand the cross as having anything to do with God's anger toward man or toward sin, but rather an expression. The cross is an expression of God's love, because after all, the Father and the Son are one, and this as is the Spirit. So the offering of the Son is the offering of the Father and the offering of the Spirit as well. And so the cross is for us, yes, it's an atonement, but look at this beautiful hymn of the Church and hear how differently the Church approaches this topic from the way I just described. O Christ God, you willingly accepted crucifixion for the resurrection of mankind. This is from the Vespers, which we're going to say on Saturday night. You dyed your finger with blood through the crimson of the cross, crimson of the cross. And through this royal crimson ink that you now have on your finger, in other words, you compassionately signed our absolution in your kingly authority. Forsake us not when we are threatened with being separated once again from you. Have compassion instead on your persecuted people. O you who are long-suffering, arise and fight those who are fighting us, for you are almighty. So the Church says, look, we aren't worthy of being saved, but if we're going to be saved, it's not because you, Christ, stood in the place of our place to take the wrath of the angry God and therefore set us right with you. No, you are the loving God, and you said, I want to set man right So I'm going to endure every consequence of his sin, even death. But in love, never separating myself from love to the Father, and the Father never separating himself in love toward me. And I'm going to dip my finger in my own blood, and I'm going to cross out the condemnation against me, against the human beings. I'm going to blot it out. I'm going to sign, as its hymn says, my absolution. You are absolved. You are not a sinner anymore. I have taken your sins upon myself. And so that is how we think of it. So we start this exit from paradise with a tree. We enter back into paradise with a tree. In the center of paradise, in the book of Genesis, is the tree of life. On the hill of Golgotha is the tree of life. In the garden, we could eat of the tree of life and live. On Golgotha, we can eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree of life, eat of its fruit, and that fruit is Christ Himself, offered to us as food and as drink.
For as long as I remember, and as far as I can see, there are pilgrims in the valley, lost and thirsty just like me. We seek shelter in each other when the rocks begin to slide. We can't run from what is coming down the mountainside. When it all comes down, it all comes down. From the ground we were created, to the ground we will return. Every moment that we borrow, every token that we've earned. It's His in the beginning, and it's His to take away. And we can't be sure about nothing, but we'll surely know one day. When it all comes down, it all comes down. And this vapor of a life will vanish on the wind. Every road I've traveled on will come to an end. He'll come riding in and steal me up in a rush. Take my place in the light, leave my bones in dust.
Is who, I should know this artist.
That's Brandon Heath.
Brandon Heath. I was going to say Brad Paisley. Okay, Brandon Heath. Thank you, Brandon. So we are, and I think we're going to have some Josh Garls later. Is that correct,
Brandon? Yeah, I'm trying to find him. So.
Okay, because we're going to have to start a Josh Garls fan page in New Zealand, because we have not had any success getting him here. We've been working on it for 5 years now.
No, we haven't put any work in. We've just been talking about it.
No. I've written to his publicist several times.
Several times?
Yes. But they said, no, he's not coming. So anyway, we have to have a Josh Garls fan page here in New Zealand.
Well, maybe you're pronouncing his name wrong. Maybe that's why.
Oh, how are you supposed to pronounce it?
I don't know. Maybe it's Garls.
Well, when it's written, I don't think it matters. Okay, so here we are. We're getting close to the center of our Lenten period. And in the center of the Garden of Eden, there is the Tree of Life. In the center of Golgotha is the Tree of the Cross. In the center of our Lenten journey is the Feast of Stavro Proskynesios, the Feast of the Veneration of the Precious Cross of Christ. And so you can see that the Church really loves the symbolisms that are all connected in this wonderful feast. And there are many, many more. I mean, as long as you start to connect that whenever you see salvific wood in the Old Testament as being an image connecting us to the cross of Christ. You'll see it many places. How about the Ark of Noah, made of wood? How did it save everyone? Because they were within it. They were cared for by it.
Because hope floats.
Hope floats. I like that. So there inside the ark is the image of the cross. And then are there other stories? You remember the water, the bitter water called Marah?
Oh, it's been a long time. I don't remember it very well.
With
yes.
Moses, they couldn't drink the water.
Yeah.
And so God said, take this piece of wood, dip it into the water, and it's going to get sweet.
Yeah, what we see throughout the Old Testament, the symbolic nature of wood and how it brings us to this one, well, we call it the crux of it all, right?
There you go, crux meaning cross, very good.
But this one pivotal point in the spiritual history of mankind. And so, there's pieces of wood all over the place that we just...
Yes, there's lots of pieces of wood. And then there's also this image. I don't remember now. Forgive me for not knowing the exact quote. But I believe it's Moses, or if it's not Moses, it's Joshua. And maybe it's both. They're in some battle, and they're losing the battle. And God says, hold your hands up, like you're on a cross. In other words, hold your hands up, straight up, out, you know, out away from your body. And so as soon as Moses does that, they start to win the battle.
It's counterintuitive. And you said that he did it again when they crossed the... He put his arms like that when they crossed the...
The Red Sea.
The Red Sea. And well, he put his arms out.
Well, he used his staff, first of all, a piece of wood.
Mm-hmm.
He inscribes the water. Mm-hmm. As I say, he draws a line through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it separates to the left and to the right.
Yeah.
And then they're able to walk across. And then when he comes back, he inscribes it the other direction now, making the sign of the cross.
Yeah, but I thought he held his hands out in to give the people courage.
Oh, well, it could be. I don't remember that.
Maybe that's just in the movie.
Well,
but
it would be a good symbolism if they put it in the movie.
But we have that. And so what I want to say is they're in battle, and he's asked to put his arms out.
Yes.
And makes him vulnerable.
Yes.
He can't fight.
Right.
And same with the Red Sea. You have your arms out. You can't swim.
Ah.
And or if you're holding your hands, you know, you're not, you know, it's a gesture of vulnerability, but it's also a gesture of strength, they say, for someone who's, I know particularly in performance, but also in other situations when a person needs to think more proactively. That lots of times a psychologist or some, you know, a person who helps people out, they'll tell them to put their hands out, stretch them out like that, and they find courage. And so it's counterintuitive, and yet it's the same shape of the cross. It's the same way that Christ had his arms laid out when he was crucified. It's the same.
Well, I'm gonna bring it a little closer to home, Presbyter, because I got to watch you being a mother with our children. And how many times you said to your kids, how much does mommy love you? And then you go, so much.
Oh, that's universal.
You put your arms out. Well, of course, universal. So you put your arms out, and then the child sees the image of the cross.
Mm.
And of course, that's what Christ does for us. He says, how much do I love you? He says, so much. He puts his arms on the cross. So, and don't think that it's a coincidence that Christ died on the cross when every building, I mean, with maybe some exceptions, every building, its strength and support is in a cross shape. There's a vertical beam and a horizontal beam for the construction of every home and perhaps every building. And if it's not made out of wood, it's made out of steel. So those are very, very strong structure. And so Christ, none of that is to be taken for granted.
And all of that now is to give us courage. And we're at the halfway point of Lent, and we're kind of tired.
Yes. I want to tell you a funny story, though. There's a story about St. I don't know if it was St. Paisio, some saint in Mount Athos. And he lived his whole life on Mount Athos. He'd never seen a transistor radio. So someone brought him a transistor radio. And he didn't know what to do with it, so he looked it over. And he noticed on the transistor radio there was a place to indicate which way the batteries go. It was a small plus sign. And he looked at that, and he made the sign of the cross, and he kissed it. He says, the cross of Christ.
He He was being very simple. Just, and also very, what do you call it, when you give a sermon?
Well, pure-hearted, anyway.
Well, yeah.
I thought.
Do you want a last song or another song before the last song?
Yes, we got to go, I guess. It's been wonderful being with you.
Oh, we've got...
We have enough, 4 minutes, a few more minutes?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to do this one song, and then we can slow it down if you want to say anything else
before
we go.
Fine. One more song. I want to share with you. They're very short, but I want to read them to you. The one is the Kontakion for the Feast of the Stavropol's Kinesios, the Veneration of the Cross. And listen to these beautiful words. The angel's fiery sword will no longer guard the gate of paradise, for the cross of the Lord has put it out wondrously. The power of death has been broken, the victory of Hades wiped out, and you, my Savior, have stood up and called out to all those bound in hell, come now, enter again into paradise. And then this one, the Ikus. Pilate set up 3 crosses on Golgotha, 2 for the thieves and 1 for the Lord of life. Seeing this, Hades asked its servants, who has driven the spear into my heart? A wooden lance has pierced me, and I am torn apart. What pain has penetrated my womb and my heart? What sorrow stabs my spirit? I am forced to give up Adam and his children, those whom I had received from the forbidden tree. For a new tree leads them to enter again into paradise. Thank you so much for listening today to our program. I hope you found it beneficial. And remember, this is a program offered of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, headquartered in Wellington, whose Archshepherd is Eminence Archbishop Amphilochios. Look forward to being with you again next week at 3:15.
Stand in him complete. Jesus died.